You're listening to the Jesus Culture Podcast, part of the Jesus Culture Podcast Network. Hey guys, welcome to the Jesus Culture Podcast. It is so good to have you with us. I am Becky Johnson, youth pastor of Jesus Culture Sacramento and the director of the Jesus Culture Podcast Network. And today I'm joined by our producer, a man normally behind the scenes and a man pretty special to me.
We are married.
Derek.
It's Derek Johnson.
Hello.
So, yes.
Banning is not with us today. He is busy doing nothing. He's at home, actually. Just he's taking a rest, and he's being, you know, really great at doing self-care, and he is a busy man, and he's just taking some time to be intentional with his family and have a Sabbath. And so we had some podcasts scheduled to record today, but we are holding down the fort so yes. Banning can probably nap and watch Netflix, which is very important.
But we did not disappoint because today's podcast is really incredible. We had the one and only Jeremy Riddle on this podcast, who has been a massive influence in our lives, not only from what people would know him doing on stage in leading worship and in writing songs and all those pieces, but we've been friends with Jeremy for a long time, and he's one of those guys who, whether he's leading worship or whether you're talking to him in private, he's someone who is really seeking the Lord. And mm-hmm. It shows up in his worship, but he's someone who's just seeking God in his life authentically. Mm-hmm. And so we had a chance today to interview him and just kind of go deep on who he is and what he's going after. And I'm so fired up from this podcast.
Definitely.
It's so good.
It goes into my top 10 favorite interviews I've ever done. And I love when the Holy Spirit interrupts and you go on a path that you weren't planning. So we had actually planned to talk about a couple of different things. And what opened up about fathering, what opened up about, you know, being mothers and fathers in this generation, about what it looks like to actually identify that you might have an orphan spirit and how to walk that through, and then the role of humility and all of that and worship. It was just so good. We had probably ended it like 3 or 4 times, and then the conversation kept rolling.
Yeah.
And we have Phil Manganiello on with us for the interview, and I had a full page of notes. So, and I'm always taking notes, but this one you saw, Derek, I was like writing in the margins and like trying to make room to keep jotting down what was being said. And afterwards, you and I both just kind of sat there like, it was like a holy moment. And I felt challenged afterwards. I felt the need to repent for some things in my own thinking in some ways that I have pursued some things. And it was just really, really good. So we're not even going to talk much about anything else. And we want to jump right into this interview because it is so good.
So that'd be our encouragement. Get out a pen and paper and take some notes and just soak up this podcast with Jeremy Riddle.
All right, guys, I'm so excited for this interview with a longtime friend and even just a spiritual leader of mine and Derek's from way, way back, Jeremy Riddle. Jeremy, thank you so much for jumping on with us.
So good, guys. Honored to be here.
Could you quickly just tell our listeners who you are and what you are doing right now?
Those are massive questions. I think I had the answers for those a while ago. Now it's a little harder to find. But who am I? I think I'm still on that journey of discovering that question. Like, and you think you know that in one season, and the next season you realize you may not know that as well as you think. And I think for me, there's simple, basic things that I know. I know I'm the Lord's. I know He's called me to His church. I know He's called me to bring everything that I am to His church, which isn't just one thing. I'm mainly known as a worship leader, I think, a songwriter, in different circles, a pastor, speaker, leader, influencer, whatever. But I think those hats are always changing. And I think at the end of the day, there's more change, you know, to come. I don't know how long I'll lead from behind the guitar, or I think I'll be a songwriter for as long as I live, but I'm not sure how many people will be listening, you know, like that kind of a deal. But I do love His church. I feel called to it. I want to be a pillar in His house. I think He's making me to be. And I'm a dad. I've got 5 kids. I'm a husband, obviously. That's important before my fatherhood, you know, to actually be a husband. But and married almost 20 years.
And, amazing.
I was at Bethel for 9 years. I was worship pastor. I was young adult pastor. I was a lot of different things. I wore a lot of different hats there. Was on the you know, Eric Johnson's leadership team for the local church. Was on some of the senior leadership decision-making stuff. Done a lot of that. And recently we've just transitioned back down to Southern California, back down to Anaheim and to the Vineyard Church, which is where we spent 15 years of our life, and just recently taken over the role of pastoring worship, creativity and prayer. And my wife and I doing that together now. And honestly, our hearts though just burn for revival, burn to see a move of God in our day and in our lives. See, I want to mother and father the worship movement. That's something that's massively on my heart. I just see, and not necessarily in an institutional sense, like, but there's a harvest in the nations for worship that I feel deeply called to. And I feel most of my assignments are going to be in the nations. But there's something the Lord wants to, you know, we're not here in Southern California because we just like the climate. We're here missionally. We feel like the Lord has strategically planted us here because he wants to break out in a significant way in this region. And so we're pressing into that. And we're also putting our roots down in a very beautiful house that the Lord, you know, used powerfully, you know, back in the day. And because we feel like its day is not done, its time is not done. And the sweet thing that the Lord did is still something that he wants to continue, even though it will be new and fresh and unique, but it's still connected to its history. So that's a super long answer to a very simple question. But there you go.
I love it. That is so cool. How cool to I don't, a lot of people would maybe even know you from the Vineyard, but like you said, it's kind of where things started, right? You spent 15 years there.
Absolutely.
Wow. Yeah. How does it feel being back?
Well, we were gone 11 years, so that's no small amount of time, and things change. And it feels old and new all at the same time. It feels surreal. There are days where my wife and I just are like, wow, we're really back here. Like, how did that happen? But at the same time, incredibly different, because who we were before and what our purpose was then is radically different than who we are now and the purpose that we have now. So and that lens changes everything. It changes our perspective. It changes how we do life here. It changes the people that we're deeply connected to this time around and all of that. So it feels brand new and fresh, and also there's a part of it where you have to be like, have we gone backwards? You know, like, is this, we're doing some things that we haven't done in a long time. And it's kind of like, I had a pastor friend describe it, and I liked his answer. He just said, it's kind of like when you've shifted life seasons and you thought you were done having kids. And all of a sudden we're having kids again, and we're back. We thought we'd left changing diapers behind. But here we are again. We're back in this life season, and this is some of the stuff that we're doing.
Wow, what a beautiful analogy. Gosh, I think of countless times in my own life that I've thought that, and the propensity is to think you've messed up or that that's a bad thing. But to hear like, that's life. That's just the journey. That's leadership.
And we feel the Lord in that.
Yeah.
You know? And but exactly, you have to be like, no, we're not going backwards. No, we haven't messed up. This is part of the journey. Yeah. So it's good.
Jeremy, I mean, it's fascinating just to kind of hear you as you just unpack who you are, and these two things you kind of started at the beginning with, like, right, I know I'm the Lord's, and I know I belong to his church. And what would you actually say you've gone through to get to that point where it's almost like all of the things you could have said, or maybe all of the things you did say 10 years ago or 5 years ago, to kind of come back to this place where you're like, I just have a simple clarity about who I am. I mean, what was it like? And you may even say that there's still some mystery in that. But I mean, out of all of the things that you could have said, that you came back to those two simple things, what has it been like to go through that process of even finding yourself?
Yeah. Life, identity, purpose, it's ever deepening, ever evolving. I think, no, evolving is a kind of a trigger word for a lot of Christians, but I don't mean that in a bad way. We're just kind of ever discovering something deeper, and the Lord will take us on a journey. And our tendency to think in that journey is like, oh, we figured it out. We finally figured it out. We know who we are. We know what we're doing. And there is beautiful clarity to my purpose. I'm not confused, like you know, in this season of my life. But it's not necessarily like a defined hat or like a very specific, you know. Before I've been like, well, I'm a youth pastor, you know, all the like typical handles that we identify, you know, with. I think more and more, I am in that next season of giving myself to the journey that God has taken me on, which has never been about any of those hats or any of those forms. Those have just been things that He's brought me into to deepen the thing that He's doing in my life. And ultimately, at the end of the day, God is making you. You are His project. He's forming Christ in you. And that is His gift to the world. It's not Jeremy, the worship leader. Here's my gift. Like he's forming His Son in each and every one of us. That's the journey that He's taking us on. And He'll take you through the desert. He'll take you. Some people, they're going through business. They're going through the entrepreneur. Like, but ultimately, at the end of the day, no matter what track we're on, we are all on the same track in the sense that we are being made into the image of His Son. And He's forming Jesus in us and leading us into the unique way that we're called to express that. There's also seasons of life where it's kind of like in one season you're raising 2-year-olds, and the next season you're pastoring teenagers, and the next season you're, you know, it's like there's seasons, there's progressive levels and things. And I feel like I have been a son. I've learned what sonship looks like. Probably the past decade has really been learning actually sonship. And maybe that's late. Maybe that's a decade late. Maybe that's what my 20s were for, but I never really learned that in my 20s. But I definitely learned sonship in my 30s. Okay, this is what this actually looks like. And now I feel like I'm being prepared to be a father in His house, someone who raises up the next generation. And I think if there is a thing that I positioned myself to be, I'm like, Lord, I know I'm supposed to carry this kind of weight. I see a whole generation. You give me a heart for a whole generation who are longing for a father. They're longing for fathers. And I'm like, here I am. Send me, Lord. That's ultimately what this next season is going to be about. And so that's a long, rambly way of kind of connecting a little bit more to that process. But the titles and all of that kind of stuff, it just really is not, it's not that important. It's so much, I think, all that they can be almost become distractions, and they create identity crises. Like, yeah. At the end of the day, when you realize like the Lord is forming Jesus in you, and you know, through that whole journey where you just know that you're His, and He's made you for Himself, He's made you for His church.
Oh, that's so good.
Those are the only things that really matter.
That's beautiful. I want to talk about just something that caught me kind of even off the page of what I was going to ask, but you talked about sonship and the journey from sonship to fatherhood. And we've been talking a lot within the local church here of just the need for mothers and fathers, that we need mothers and fathers raised up in the body of Christ who will take the younger generation. But sometimes what we don't talk, we talk a lot about that, but sometimes what we don't talk about is what you said. In order for me to become a father, I need to get my identity as a son. And that, you know, and for women as daughters, can you just talk about, all right, I didn't get it in my 20s, but I feel like I got it in my 30s. Can you talk about the journey of sonship and what does that look like, and the role of humility in the journey of sonship, the role of worship in the journey of becoming a son and daughter? Can you just kind of unpack that a little bit?
Yeah, and I think everybody's journey, there might be some similar threads, but I think it's going to be unique to where the Lord has placed you and who He's placed you with. Ultimately, I had to learn sonship in connection to fathers. Like, it's not something I could have gone on an independent, I don't want to take away from a one-on-one pursuit of God in any way, shape, or form. It is vital, integral. It is everything. And at the same time, the Lord so often does so much of His work in us through people and through bringing us into relationship with people or pushing us or opening up doors into relationship with people who are carrying the thing that we need. Right. And so honestly, for me, the journey of sonship was being led to an apostolic house, which carries, it's a fathering house, and getting around people who actually are true fathers of the faith. And it wasn't necessarily they had a bunch of coffees with them or even rub shoulders with them. I did rub shoulders, but it was literally just being around them. Like, the Lord connected me to fathers, and I realized, wow. it's kind of like you don't realize how much of an orphan lives in you until you get around really well-parented kids or you get around a beautiful family and you just realize, like, I have a lot of orphan tendencies. Like, I have this very independent rogue orphan thing in me. Like, that journey of being fathered, like, everyone's journey is going to be different. But I was really fathered at Bethel. That was probably the thing that I take away more than anything. But fathered in a way that, being spanked, I mean, being disciplined, real fathering, like, not just like, oh, my son, you know, and I will. our idea of fathering is often when we're confronted with real fathering, a lot of orphans actually run away from real fathering. It scares them, or they get offended by it, or they actually run away from it, and they stunt their own growth. Real right. fathering is going to challenge you. Like, it is going to discipline you. It's going to love you intensely, but not, it's like we don't recognize it when it's right in front of us. Like, because of our misconception of what that is. We have a very romanticized version of family and of being spiritually parented. And my spiritual parenting, I remember one of my first experiences is I was in a rough contract. I felt very unjust. And I wanted to go to war with it. I felt like it threatened the provision of my family and yada, 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 and a lot of other things. And I was just all fired up, zeal, and just like, you know. And, you know, being fathered in that moment was someone going like, hey, you know, we've adopted you in this moment. We want you to represent our heart towards that group of people. And so here's what we need you to do is essentially what they instructed me to do is like, we want you to take a hit. To just absolutely demonstrate to them what our heart is towards. And don't worry about the money side or any of that. The Lord's going to take care of you. But it was like this very directive thing. And honestly, you know, and I've had moments where I've had, you know, that same father be like, hey, you're full of offense. Like, you think this is what's going on in your heart. Your heart's really pure, but you actually are blinded to what your heart's really doing. Your heart's really doing. You're full of offense and you need to repent. And you need to get, you know, and this is what I need. And it was like that fathering, we're in that moment. Like, I knew I had a choice to make, you know, and everybody talks about father, like it's this, like, and I think when we think about father, we think about grandfathering.
Yeah, so true. You know?
It can be abrasive. It can be in your face. And that takes an incredible amount of humility to stay tethered to that, to receive from that, the good, the bad, and the ugly. And I've had good meetings with fathers and bad meetings with fathers. Like, it's like family is real.
Yeah.
Fathers aren't perfect. And I think, and so if you're going to actually stay and be fathered, it requires incredible humility to just stay in the game. Like somehow I know in this process, you're forming Jesus in me. Like, this discipline, I'm going to receive this is from the Lord. And at the end of the day, yeah, that whole journey, like, it was like about nine years of being in this, putting myself in this, not checking out when I wanted to check out, not running away when I wanted to run away, and just staying in connection, that covenant, you know, that thing of like, I am no, you know, like, and you have to almost, you got to choose it on a regular basis, kind of over and over again. That is the thing that I think has grown that father thing in me and finally reached a point where you kind of know, like, okay, I'm ready to become this now. And in one sense, none of us feel ready to become fathers. I think, you know, it's just, or mothers. We're like, wait, that can't be me. That's got to be someone older, wiser, more mature than me, you know. And yet, mothers and fathers are growing increasingly younger in some ways, just because of, they're like, okay, Lord, I'm posturing myself. And so anyway, I definitely feel like we have chosen to put ourselves in a position where, like, okay, this has been thoroughly formed in us, and we feel it's our time to step out. Not that we're going to do it perfect, not that we're not green. It's kind of like, what parent knows what they're doing with their one-year-old, you know?
One of the things you talk about in this is the reality of this orphan heart that's in so many people. It's, they're longing for a father, but then you get around it, or that fathering and mothering, and they don't always know how to receive it. I can't tell you how many people I've walked with in my own community that there is this insatiable hunger in them to actually be loved and led in this way. But when they find a taste of it, they actually don't, because this radical individualism is this controlling power that they don't actually know how to let go of. So honestly, what would you say to someone who's listening right now, and there is a hunger to be fathered and mothered in them, but they would say, I haven't found it yet.
Yeah. I find that most of us, we reject the things that are actually going to take us to the next level. Like we reject the things because they're painful processes. They're painful interactions. And not always. Obviously, if every interaction you have with the Father is painful, then it's probably not helping. You know, so hear me on this. Like begin to identify what you're thinking when you go, I'm longing for a mother and a father. And begin to ask yourself, is that really a mother or a father? Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when I hear a young person talk about, I just want a spouse. I just want a wife. I want someone who sees me and understands me and loves me and takes care of all of my needs. And I'm like, you don't want a wife or a husband. You don't necessarily understand what marriage actually is, you know? And I think sometimes, or what that's going to cost you and what that's going to take in order for that relationship to be healthy. And it is going to be this beautiful exchange where you do find like your soulmate. Like, I mean, you do find this deep friendship and you're also, it's at the same time, you're going to lay your life down for the help, I think. It is a both and thing. And so I think go like, hey, just know that a father, a true mother and father, they're going to love you. They're going to provide a place of safety. And although sometimes it might not feel that's safe, but I'd say you have to choose. I think there's a reason why covenant is the first step. You have to commit to something before you actually are going to see the true benefits. And sometimes we want to stay in a dating mentality. We want to win in a consumer mentality. We want the richness of family. We want the richness of relationship. But we want to date it. We want it to be there when we need it, but we don't want to commit to it. We don't want to be tethered to it. And I go, like, you actually have to posture yourself in a radically different way. You might have to commit to a house. You might have to commit to a person who doesn't even initially see you. This is an intentional thing that you yoke yourself to. And if you don't, you may never actually experience what it's like to be truly mothered and fathered. My biggest fear is control. Like my personality is my biggest fear is being controlled. And a lot of times we're steered by these, by our fears, you know? And so the biggest fear that I had to overcome when it came to being connected to a father is being controlled. And honestly, at the end of the day, I had to wrestle that thing to the ground. And this is something we walk out with the Lord, because some of the things we have to know, man, this is so deep, and there's so much on this, and I feel like I'm cracking over just cans of worms here. But God ultimately is the one fathering you in the midst of all your relationships, and He's ultimately the one leading your life. And a lot of times we think it's all these human processes, and it's why we try and seek out connections or we try and network. We think we're going to get the thing we want out of life a lot of times in connection to people, or, you know, if I just meet this person, or if I just get connected with this movement, and there's some of that, but ultimately the Lord is the one actually, you know, steering that. And if you honor the principles that He sets in place, He's like, seek first the kingdom of God, everything else will be added. If you learn to honor that first principle, you will get, you know, the second one. You have to know, even if you're submitted to a father who's imperfect, which all of them are, by the way, as you are. And even if you submit yourself to a father who's imperfect, there's something in that submission, like of doing it, that actually, like, heaven will take you through that journey. And even through, I have been imperfectly fathered on every level, but even in that journey, in humility, as I've tethered myself and chosen to honor my mother's and my father's spiritual and natural, the Lord's favor has come upon my life. And I think what we have to know in this journey of, like, you can make this commitment, you know, and you can go on this journey, and the Lord will use this. You're not going to be controlled, you know, by this. Anyway, this may be too deep of a conversation, but
no, it's so amazing. Cause I think actually what happens to so many people is because they have lost their ability to find their meaning in Jesus. Right. That what they don't realize that they're doing is that they're looking to relationships to try to satisfy a meaning that actually only God can give them. Mm-hmm. And I can't tell you how many young people I've actually sat with and said, you're actually not pursuing friendship, you're not pursuing marriage, you're not pursuing mentorship, you're actually trying to prostitute all the relationships in your life to try to soak them for a meaning that only God can give you. And you're actually missing the reality of what's happening in your life, that you say you're looking for these things, but you're actually looking for meaning. And so everybody in your life, you're actually using them for a source of meaning because you don't feel valuable. And it's amazing how many, I actually wonder how many people, as you're even saying, have missed the father or the mother right in front of them, have missed the friend right in front of them because they actually are so hungry for meaning. They look at somebody and go, unless you can make my life more meaningful, I'm not going to give it to you. So in this kind of cultural moment, right? And I heard you kind of say like, just what you hunger for. It's the same thing I hunger for. It's the same thing banning hungers for. It's this, like, I long to see a spiritual awakening in my day. Like, I want to leverage my life to believe that it is possible in my life, not to see an incredible church service or even an incredible local church, but actually a spiritual awakening that transcends a generation. What do you see God asking of his church again, that we could see that happen?
I know hunger is really important, and real hunger. I think of all the things of God that have been opened up to me, hunger is the thing that's actually led me there, because you're going to have to overcome a lot of offense. You're going to have to overcome a lot of ways that we perceive how God does what he does. You don't realize you have a lot of boxes or very specific ways that you've come to know and understand how God moves and how God works until he confronts those boxes. Like, he exposes those kinds of things. But if you're hungry and willing to go on the journey, you're able to overcome, some of the offense of how he moves and the different ways that he's moving. I study movements. Like, I've studied the Jesus movement. And what's so funny is how cultural it was. Like the Jesus people were almost identical to the hippies. Like, the hippie movement, peace, love, and all of that was already happening. But in the middle of that kind of cultural phenomena, like, you have the Jesus movement. And you have, like, I don't know, I find myself so curious. Like, what will a God movement, like, what will a move of his spirit look like in our day, in our time, in our generation? And what I think I find with a lot of people, one of the biggest things that I come up against is perseverance, like a lack of perseverance, a lack of, like, if it doesn't pan out a certain way, if it doesn't, like, if the attention spans we want a deep, deep, lasting work, but we can't tarry for an hour, kind of a moment.
Like, man, so true.
Like, our ability to press in, even within the course of a 5-minute song, is so, so contested, you know? And everybody comes full of expectancy, but if it doesn't hit a certain thing, or if it doesn't feel a certain way, or if it doesn't meet an immediate felt need, it's just like, okay, cool, on to the next thing. It's like, whatever engages, it's like a fight for attention, it's a fight for engagement. And where is the generation that will maintain consistent hunger, like consistent devotion? And I think devotion is this lost thing. Like, what does it look like for a generation to be truly devoted to Jesus? We're all in when someone talks about our destiny and our dreams and our, you know, da 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 da. We all know, like, yes, sign me up, you know. But when it comes to true, real devotion, longing, hunger for Jesus, like, particularly in this, in the younger generation, and they're hungry for it. I think they're just waiting for someone to lead them into that. Sometimes I look at a lot of our theology, and it works, and it's attractive, and it's taking off like wildfire because it's wildly self-serving. Like, it's actually very humanistic in a lot of ways. And I go, I don't know. Some of it, the further removed it gets, it just stops looking like the gospel. Actually, stops looking like, yeah, Jesus on people, to me. And I do believe in destiny. I do believe in dreams. I do believe in all of these things. And at the end of the day, if you read through scripture and you look how destiny gets walked out, if you look at, you know, even Jesus's own life, it's just very, very different. So I am longing for a real Jesus, people who know how to be. I mean, we talk about creatives. I think the biggest hang up, you know, right now with so many creatives and so many different people, that the rare breed of creative that I long to see is I don't find many that are truly God-centered, that are truly missional, like in their thinking, that have gotten over themselves. I don't know that many who are actually pulling from a place of devotion, pulling from the source of life and true creativity, so much as they're on a journey. It's a little bit narcissistic, like it's a little bit it's incredibly internal. And again, I think that's what we appreciate about creatives is how much time they spend internally thinking about their process and thinking about, you know, like who they are. We love that. But I'm like, I find myself so hungry for the people who are going to be so full of God, like so full, so obsessed with who Jesus is, so hungry. I don't know. I don't have language for it. I don't have great articulation for it, but there's something missing. There's something missing in our approach. And I go, just tell me, like, you know, I love all the artistic expressions. I love all the new things, but there's something missing in the area of devotion and real hunger for God. Like I don't know.
No, it's so good. Yeah. You're speaking our heart.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I go, okay, let's go another hour in that direction. Like let's unpack that. Oh my gosh. Jeremy, you're a deep well, friend, and I'm so moved by your passion and your hunger. If anybody follows Jeremy Riddle on Instagram, each post is like a mini book. It's my devotional. I love it. I stop whenever I see I don't read a lot of people's posts, but I stop and I read yours, and I so appreciate your vulnerability there and your transparency. And it is, you're calling generation back to that hunger and to the God-centered life that Jesus calls us to.
Yeah. And I have to say, like, I believe there's a generation waiting to be woken up to it. It's not that it's not there. And I think I just want to encourage. I spend a lot of time observing different things. And sometimes I'm like, I don't spend enough time encouraging and calling out. You know what's there. I believe there's a whole generation just long, like just show me how, in the midst of all of this other stuff that seems important, and people are building careers now out of and this beautiful thing called worship and all these, I think it's become a career driven everything. And I just go like, there's dry kindling just waiting for someone to strike a match and wake people up to the true purpose of why they're alive. And I just think if you're on this journey, let go of selfish ambition, let go of all the other stuff, like sign up to be like, make me like Jesus. Like, I want to be like Jesus. Like, I want to go after this. Like, don't live in this tormented state where you try and serve yourself and your needs and your wants and your dreams. Give yourself fully to Jesus and watch him unfold one of the most remarkable lives. You know, I find I want to encourage because I think it's there. And the more I talk about it, the more I find like, oh, you have that same burn. You have that same hunger. And I think the world's waiting for people to stop playing church and stop doing the same institutional, formulaic way of doing something and to actually like begin to manifest what it looks like to follow the Holy Spirit, to hunger after God and with all of their hearts to seek first his kingdom. They're looking for a genuine expression of family, not just the family talk that still looks like a corporation. Like, they're hungry for the real thing. And I think we have an opportunity right now to begin to demonstrate. And if you're one of those people listening, and you know that that's something in your life, that's something you burn for, then just sign up to be like, go on that journey. Be like, Lord, use me. Like, take that hunger, light me up. The Lord will bring, you'll be like a light, and you'll attract people from all over the world. I think it's waiting to be ignited, but we need people who are going to lead like into that. And so in some ways, I think maybe the greatest obstacle is we're still trying to put new wine in a very old wineskin.
Yeah.
And I definitely think one of the greatest obstacles to the movement of God, now I'm saying something, I think to the movement of God is we need a new, fresh wineskin, yeah. like to actually contain the new wine, because it's like nothing we've ever seen or experienced before. And when we keep trying to put it back into these old corporate, you know, institutional models, like it's actually not working.
Yeah.
And anyway, that's what I'm hungering for, pressing in to see. And I know there's a whole generation longing for the same thing.
They absolutely are. Oh my gosh. Derek over here is coming out of his chair. Oh my gosh. That's so, so good. It's our heart. I hope that if you're listening, that you feel a fresh wave of encouragement and an igniting in your own heart to do that, what Jeremy said, to sign up and just go for it. And be, and I was thinking too, for all the men and women listening who are the fathers and mothers that this generation needs, just go reach out and grab some orphans. And say, come over to my house, love them, hug them. It was me at 17 coming in. I was as orphaned as they come. I didn't want anybody loving me or seeing me or accepting me. And an older couple at a vineyard in a small town in Indiana reached out and said, hey, I see you. And they worked past my icy exterior week after week after week until I was at the altar in their arms crying my eyes out. And it's why I'm here today. So for those, you know, for those people who, man, orphans will run and they will try to hurt and bite and pinch and scream. But if we can, as mothers and fathers, if we can lean in and say, I'm going to love you till it hurts. And you know that, like, God's love doesn't retreat. It doesn't retreat and when we bat away. And so, yeah, I hope on both sides for those listening, yeah, that they're getting that. Jeremy, thank you so
That's
much.
That's a whole preach. Go, Becky.
Yeah, come on, Jeremy. Thank you so much.
That's a preach. So, all right. Guys, this has been very, very good for my spirit. I know it's a... Anyway, I just love it. I love the conversation. I love the wisdom. I could do this for hours.
Told you guys. Told you that it was going to be amazing. Hopefully, you guys got some good stuff out of that. I think that's worth a re-listen once or twice, because there was just so much good stuff that we hit on there. And hopefully we can have Jeremy on again to dive deeper into some of those topics and continue to unpack them. We all kind of, Jeremy, Phil, myself, we were at the end like, yeah, wow, okay, same time next week. That was good for all of our souls. That was just really good.
The conversation went on after we stopped recording. Yeah, it was really, there's just a great energy that was happening. Yeah, so it was awesome.
It's awesome. So if you've never connected with Jeremy Riddle's worship, make sure you check that out and connect with him on Instagram. It's at Jeremy Riddle. He's got really good stuff on his Instagram posts. It's deep. I was joking with Banny and I said, when Banning asked me to do the interview myself because he wanted to take some time to rest, I was like, he's like Tozer, like A.W. Tozer deep. I don't know if I can hang. It was good. It was really good. Don't forget to join us if you will be near Chicago in the summer. In July, we'll be in Chicago for our conference and then again in Sacramento. So if you are anywhere near those or want to come out and hang out with us, it's going to be an incredible 3 days as we pursue God and have some incredible worship and speakers. All the info is at jcconference.com. Thanks so much for joining us, guys. Until next time. We hope you enjoyed this show, part of the Jesus Culture Podcast Network. You can leave us a 5-star review on iTunes. And for more information, go to jesusculture.com/podcast. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at JC Podcast.